Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 6, The Downfall of Sabari Muni, Text Number 48. Evam Grihesh Pabhirato Vishayan Vividai Sukai Seva Mano Na Chatushtya Aja Stokar Ivanala. Evam, in this way, Griheshu, in household affairs, Abhivrata, being always engaged, Vishayan, material paraphernalia, Vividai, with varieties of Sukhai, happiness, Sevamana, enjoying, Na, not, Cha, also, Atushyat, satisfied him, Ajas Shokai, by drops of fat, Eva, like, Anala, a fire. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this way, Sabari Muni enjoyed sense gratification in the material world, but he was not at all satisfied. Just as a fire never ceases blazing if constantly supplied with drops of fat. Purport. Material desire is just like a blazing fire. If a fire is continually supplied with drops of fat, the fire will increase more and more and never be extinguished. Therefore, the policy of trying to satisfy material desires by catering to one's material demands will never be successful. In modern civilization, everyone is engaged in economic development, which is another way of constantly dripping fat into the material fire. The Western countries have reached the summit of material civilization, but people are still dissatisfied. Real satisfaction is Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, where Krishna says, Bhoktaram yagetapasam sarvalokam aheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. The state is knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. One must therefore take to Krishna consciousness and advance in Krishna consciousness by properly following the regular principles. Then one can attain an eternal blissful life in peace and knowledge. So the verse again. Evam griheshva vibrato vishan vividai sukai sevamano nachatushyad aja shokai ivanala. In this way, Sabari Muni enjoyed sense gratification in the material world, but he was not at all satisfied. Just as a fire never ceases blazing if constantly supplied with drops of fat. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was asking Krishna, what's the problem? You tell me that I'm supposed to do certain things. I have a certain duty because I have a certain body. But why don't I do it? Even though I know I'm supposed to be doing something, why don't I do what I know I'm supposed to do? So this is repeated twice in Bhagavad Gita, because obviously this is one of our major challenges, is that when we know what we're supposed to do and we're convinced we're supposed to do it and then we don't do it, then we feel twice as guilty as if we just didn't know we weren't supposed to do it. So that's why the devotees seem to be more conflicted than ordinary people. Because ordinary people, they don't know what they're supposed to do. They're convinced that they're belief, as Krishna says, chintyam aparayam cha, palayantam upashitya, kama poga paramam etavam iti nischija. They're convinced that the purpose of life is sense gratification, which they very enthusiastically follow up even to the moment of death, no matter what it takes. Asha pashu shutaravada, that being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Everything goes when one is following the senses. Amarinam katida katipali tas durniteshas teshu mai jata, not mai that. In so many different ways, I've been engaged in serving my senses. And there has been no limit to how much they've demanded service. And nor did was I ever embarrassed, whatever I did, because it was all in the name to follow the purpose of life, to gratify the senses. Therefore, everything goes. And nor were my senses ever merciful to me. In spite of all the problems they got me into, they never said, oh, my dear soul, we're sorry for putting you in so much difficulty. No, they say, you rascal, you should have gratified your senses 10 times more than you did. Why are you so lazy? Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there is no limit to the anxiety caused by the unlimited desires. Now, Arjuna is thinking, I've done this again and again. I know I wasn't supposed to do it, and I got the same result. I got into difficulty. So why do I keep on doing it? I mean, I have the intelligence. I don't want to do it. What is forcing me to do it? Is it you? Krishna, you're the controller. Could I blame it on you? Because I'm a victim. So then Krishna says, Shivagavanavacha, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Raja Guna Samudvava, Mahashino Mahapapma, Vidinam Ihavarinam. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of the mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. So we think there's so many enemies. I have so many enemies. They give them names like the Illuminati or the whatever they want to call them. The people who have all the wealth and influence, the elites, they're our enemies. But Prahlad Maharaj said, actually, we only have one enemy, which is the uncontrolled mind. What does it mean, uncontrolled? Do I take my mind? I got it controlled now. No, it's the mind which is following, full of lust, anger, and greed, and which we follow. Otherwise, it's very vague. What does it mean, uncontrolled mind? How can we control our mind? The mind comes from some thought. What am I supposed to do with it? Wrestle it to the ground or something? No, we control the mind by putting it on Krishna. And when other thoughts come, we don't pay attention to them, we could say. We don't take them so seriously. Or as Krishna says, apurimanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kamiyam pravishanti sarve sa shantim apnoti nakama kami. Person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that are entering like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desire. So what's that ocean? That ocean is what Prabhupada explains in the purport, that Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller, and Krishna is the ultimate friend of everyone. He's the ultimate goal of life, that will actually make us happy and satisfied. That's the ocean that we're trying to enter in. Then all these little thoughts that come by will seem tuchavat, insignificant in comparison to actually Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, Tasmaragana sambhutam ritstam jnana sanatmanaha chidvayanam samshayam yogam atishto tishta bharata. These doubts which have arisen out of your heart out of ignorance should be slashed with the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. So what are doubts actually? What does it mean by doubts? These particular doubts are, am I this body? Am I not the body? Should I gratify? She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. So these speculations, seeing duality, and then doubting whether I should act in sense gratification this way or act in that way, or whether Krishna exists or not. Is there a God? If there's a God, why should I serve him? So many doubts arise. And what is the bottom line? Well, if there's no God, let me do whatever I want, whatever my senses dictate to me. If there's no God, then the highest thing I can serve is my senses. That's the doubt. So because we don't normally, a neophyte devotee doesn't see Krishna everywhere. Krishna is not standing before us holding a flute. And therefore, sometimes Maya comes along and says, why do you believe in God? Why do you believe in Krishna? What has he done for you? Why so many miseries in the world? Why are you so dissatisfied? So Maya will come, yoga chalati manasa, and put so many doubts into our mind so that ultimately we can go after what we're the other side of the coin, namely women and wealth. Yeah, that's right. It's all a fake. It's all an illusion. I was just dreaming. Let me go for the real thing. Money, money, sweeter than honey. And that little girl down the block, she winked at me, and if I just had a few more euros, everything would be great. So this is material consciousness. So then, why has it happened to us? We're devotees. We're pure souls. We know the truth. So the question is, how much do we actually know the truth? So Krishna says, Dume na vriyate vanir, itar darsho balena cha, itobin avrita garbas, tatate nevam avritam. Just like the fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by the dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of his lust. So we can't see things because we're looking through a fog. Our senses are all cloudy. Our mind is cloudy. Our intelligence is cloudy. And our ego is also cloudy. So we're looking through this fog trying to see reality, and what we see is a fog most of the time. And then we hear from higher sources, and sometimes with our intelligence, Krishna gives us our intelligence, it's kind of like a guide through the fog. But as soon as we lose that voice coming from Krishna, then we're back in the fog again. And according to how foggy it is, then we have different conceptions. We're not as foggy as the animals. We're not as foggy as the trees. But there are different degrees of being foggy in the human form of life too. And what happens when you're foggy? Avritam jnana etena jnana nityavarena kamarupena kundiya duspraena analena cha. Thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal form of lust, which is never satisfied, and it burns like fire. Do it, do it. I'm never going to let you have a peace of mind until you do it. You must do it. I'm going to remind you, you didn't do it. Go do it. I don't want to do it. No, you want to do it. You fool, do it. And there's a feeling, oh my God, I'll never have peace of mind. I'll never be happy unless I do it. Maya will never let me up, give up. I must do it. I surrender. And then we do it, and Maya goes, you rascal, why did you do it? What do you mean you told me to do it? I never told you to do it like that. You don't listen to me. You got to do it again. Do it better this time. You're unhappy because you don't follow my directions. That's all. You're not surrendered enough. Look at these other people. They're actually happy because they gratify their senses 10 times more than you do. You got to get more money. You got to get more opportunities. You don't serve me as well as everyone else is serving their senses because you just don't love me, that's all. So, how has this conception come about? Indriyani mano buddhir, asya dishtanam uchate, eterabhimahvadyatyaisha, gyanam avrityadehinam. The senses, the mind, the intelligence, they're the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, everything begins with hearing. If we don't hear from Krishna or from his representatives, then we're hearing from the internet, our school teacher, so many different things we're hearing all the time in our mind. And we're feeling, because there's not only, if we hear enough, then we also capture their feelings. Everything we hear also has feelings behind it. So we're not only healing, but we're actually ingesting feelings into our ears. And we're ingesting the will to do something. So everything we're hearing has three things. Has an idea, has a feeling, and has a will behind it. You must do it. And if you don't hear it the first time, the propaganda doesn't work. Then they repeat it. Just like with the Twin Towers. When the Twin Towers came down. I was in Serbia. Serbia. It was the first time I was in Serbia. With Bhakti Prabhupada Maharaj. And we were in this little place where we were giving a lecture. And they brought in the television set. You know what happened? There was a terrorist attack in New York. And again and again for 2 days, simply the same thing over and over again. The planes hitting the tower. If you didn't get the first time, maybe you got it the 360th time they showed it to you. Oh, wow, look at that. So just repeat it over and over and over again till at night you can't hear. Just think, yes, bang, bang. So that's modern civilization. Just repeat the same thing over and over and over again. So as Goebbels said, if you tell a lie enough times, it becomes the truth. What to speak of the lie that with his body and that the purpose of life is just to gratify the senses, there's no other purpose. There's no God. There's no purpose of life. Repeat it over and over again from the time you're born. Google, Google, you're God, yes, yes, I know. Over and over again. So, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the sitting places. But hearing, that's beginning of lust. Because lust is conveyed actually in the very sound vibration. People are lusty when they're singing. Like a lot of these rock stars, they sing like they're a cat with someone stepped on their tail. But their singing is full of lust or anger. Nowadays it's more anger. I can't get satisfaction. They're still singing it after 50 years or 60 years of singing the same. They still haven't gotten any satisfaction. So what's the value of listening to them? What message are they giving? Frustration. So hearing, then the mind becomes a repository of all kinds of lusty desires. And then the senses get agitated because the whole thing in the mind that they're singing about, like, I need to gratify my senses. And the senses become agitated after the mind becomes filled with desires for sense gratification. And then the soul has to make a decision. What am I supposed to do? Who am I? Am I supposed to gratify my senses, although I think I'm not supposed to do it? But is there an alternative? So if there's no alternative, then people don't think about whether they should gratify their senses or not. They just think about whether they can do it or not, if they can get away with it. What's the consequences? Sometimes they think like that. And sometimes they have no intelligence. Just like a dog, if he sees some food on the table, he doesn't think, what's the consequence if I go and eat the food on the table? Will I get an F on my report card? A dog never thinks like that. He thinks, can I jump up to the table and eat it and then run away before anyone catches me? That's all he thinks, if he thinks that much. Or he just spontaneously jumps on the table, eats the food, and doesn't think of any consequences. And even he comes to the table and someone takes a newspaper and goes, whack, and the dog goes, whack, and he runs away. 5 minutes later, he forgot he got hit. Look at that. So that's modern civilization, that's modern people. If those who think what the consequences are quite rare. Most people don't even think. It's all spontaneous. They just do it. If it feels good, then you do it. And therefore they're rascals, according to our philosophy. An intelligent person, he learns by hearing, and a less intelligent person, he learns by experience. And a fool, a rascal, it doesn't matter how much experience they have, they never learn anything because they have no intelligence. So that's what modern civilization, if it's not there already, that's what they're heading for. So what's the solution? Develop intelligence. Just like I gave the example many times. A man is walking down the street and he sees a beautiful lady and his mind says, go get her. She's the one. And the intelligence says, wait a second, she has a dot on her forehead. I read some book somewhere. I think it was called Bhagavad something. And it says that she might be married or something. And she has a man next to her. Oh, come on, the mind says, don't listen to this old philosophy. That went out 5,000 years ago. No one believes it anymore. There's only one truth. If it feels good, then you do it. And then the soul has to make a decision. Do I follow my mind and senses and dictate what they tell me? Or do I look up Bhagavad Gita, that old book I put away on the shelf so many years ago, and try to see what it says? And if the soul decides, no, let me follow my mind and senses, give it one more try. Give it the old college try. Then the soul says, my dear intelligence, tell us how we can actually fulfill the desires of my mind and senses. Give me the intelligence, please. And then Krishna supplies the intelligence through his material energy. And the intelligence says, write her a letter. Tell her she's the most beautiful person you've seen. And then put in very small letters, in the last 2 weeks. Tell her you're madly in love with her. You can't live without her. She should meet you in such and such place and such time, and you'll give her the sun and the moon. And if she's really nice to you, you'll give her a couple extra stars too. And then the intelligence says, but don't sign the letter because that man next to her is twice as big as you are. So this is how the material... But if one has some intelligence by the association of devotees, and hearing from Krishna and Bhagavad Gita and other literatures, then the intelligence says, wait a second, you should take this book, this Bhagavad Gita that you have in your hand, go up to the couple and tell them they're the most beautiful couple you've seen in the last 2 weeks. That this book matches your dress and you're very intelligent, so I'm sure you'll appreciate it. It's exactly what you've been looking for. It'll make you the perfect couple. Because it's about the perfect couple. Just give a donation. Because you're generous, we can tell. So then instead of utilizing the intelligence to try to engage in sense gratification, one can use that same intelligence and engage in devotional service and engage others in devotional service too, rather than try to induce them or allure them for sense gratification with you. So that's our choice. That's called regular principles. That's what Krishna recommends. Tasmat sarveshu kalpa. See, there's a super soul. Tasmat tvam indriyanya do niyamya bharatarshva papmanam prajihi yenam gyana vigyana nashnam. Therefore, in the very beginning, O Arjuna, curb this insatiable enemy known as lust by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. In other words, just engage the senses in some kind of activity of devotional service, in Krishna consciousness. So, how do we do it? Indriyani mano buddhira. Indriyani mano buddhira asya dishtam uchate eterva mohat esha gyanam avritti dehinam. The senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Therefore, evam buddhe param buddhva samstavyatmana atmana dehi shatram bahabaho kamarupam dharashana. Therefore, knowing oneself to be superior to material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by Krishna consciousness, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So in other words, knowing ourselves to be Krishna's servant, we should ask Krishna what we should do. Ask Krishna's representatives what we should do for Krishna. And then, with that in mind, we're taking shelter of Krishna, then utilize our senses, in spite of whatever our senses are demanding in other ways, utilize them in Krishna's service, and then Krishna, by his mercy, will slay the insatiable enemy known as lust. He'll put us in the devotional fire of ecstasy and the superior energy, which will burn away all the material desires from our heart. And therefore, in that ecstasy, we'll get a higher taste and at the same time, alleviation from the fire of material desire. So the bottom line is, we have to take shelter of Krishna, that's it. And we take shelter of Krishna through his representatives, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the super soul in the heart. And if we do that, then our problems will actually be solved. And if we don't do that, we'll simply be acquiring more and more problems. There's no end to the problem. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Is it the nature of a Brahmana to talk about philosophy in all different ways and varieties, or is it the nature of a Brahmana to cut through philosophies to find out the essence?
What was that? Combine two philosophies to find out the essence?
Yeah, to cut through philosophies to find out the essence.
Well, it's both. The essence is Bhagavad Gita. So we should see through the eyes of Bhagavad Gita. Kshetram Kshetraya Jnanam Antara Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Yevido Yanti Te Param. Those who can see the difference between the owner of the body and the body and understands the process of liberation from the body, one who can see with the eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the owner of the body, and it understands the process of liberation, he attains to the supreme destination. So jnana chakshus. We have to see through the authorities. Khwala, Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.